97.1 QMG, the best R&B and old school. And thanks to Joseph Lovell, host of the Saturday edition of Today's Praise. Appreciate you, Joseph, and that morning inspiration and the transition into our public affairs show that gets the word out and lets you know what's happening in our community. Welcome to Saturday's edition of Community Focus for this 12th day of July, 2008. I'm Renee Vaughn, and we have got a great topic of discussion. Thanks, as usual, to Algernon Cash, who's with me this morning. Good morning to you. Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good to see you, too. And thank you, Algernon, for coming on a monthly basis and really just educating us as community. When it comes to, for today, we're going to focus on the comprehensive steps people need to consider if they want to create their own business. Absolutely. In fact, I think that would help if I cut your microphone on. I think you're there now, Algernon.
Okay.
Okay. Much better.
All right. There we go.
Sorry about that. See, that's why I'm not the engineer, obviously, and just a little old radio host. But repeat again, we're going to focus on the comprehensive steps people need to consider if they want to create their own business.
Yeah, and what I was saying was, I said there's a lot of people out there who may want to start their own business, and they may be wondering, what are the steps I need to take to get a business off the ground, especially considering we're going through somewhat of a rough economy right now. And then there's a lot of people out there who have started their own business, and they may be just thinking, hey, did I even follow the necessary steps to get my business off the ground, and am I doing the right thing? So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to give out some good tips that I've put together, and obviously we're going to be taking the Triads calls as well. So
absolutely, 336-680-9710. You're pretty good at this.
Am I getting all right with it?
We might have to slip you over here in the host chair one of these days.
Okay.
You never know.
As long as I'm not engineering, right?
Okay, exactly, like yours truly. Yeah. And if you do, please do a much better job than I've done so far. But seriously, Algernon, and I mentioned this yesterday on the Tom Joyner Morning Show, some of the greatest companies like GM, Toys R Us, Hewlett-Packard, even Microsoft actually started their businesses during a down economy.
It's right. And, a lot of times when I talk about going out and starting a business, because, I go out and I teach people how to build wealth. And if you really want to build wealth, you've got to make your money work for you. And there's a few different ways you can do that. You can either invest in somebody else's company, you can invest in real estate, or you could actually start your own company.
Right.
A lot of times we hear about investing in stocks and those types of things, but no one ever comes along and says, hey, you could actually invest your money in your own company and start your own thing. So, yeah, those companies got started in down economies. A lot of people feel like, hey, this is a down economy. Should I start a company? But, hey, if those companies did it and look how big they've gotten today, you can do it as well. So, a lot of people are on their jobs right now. They're worn out. They're burnt out. They feel like they're being overused and underpaid.
Right.
They feel like they have a great skill. Well, hey, take that great skill, have some faith and belief in yourself, go out there and do your own thing.
Absolutely. And I think there's one more group to add to that, Algernon, especially with so many layoffs in our area.
Yeah.
People being laid off, whether it's from textile or the furniture industry. And really, it's at that point where you kind of decide, okay, this may be an indication this is a starting over point.
Yes, yes.
Where you can restart, head in a different direction, and perhaps maybe find that you have a hidden business talent in doing something else.
It happens all the time. I mean, it a lot of times when we step outside our comfort zone.
Right.
When you're outside of that comfort zone is when you're really going to see good growth occur.
Exactly.
So, I know it's uncomfortable. It feels a little funny. You don't know what's going to happen. It's risky. But step outside of your comfort zone. Have faith in yourself and watch yourself grow.
That's right. And in a way, reinvent yourself, if you will.
I mean, even the company I started really came out of a situation where I had went to school and I thought I could get a job in technology. When I was in high school prior to 2000, you had all these companies that were spending enormous amounts of money on technology, hardware, software. Everybody was afraid of the Y2K scare.
Right.
But when I got out of school, companies had spent all their money and all their budgets, and there were really no jobs available for someone in technology. But I stepped outside of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
I actually went in a direction and started working in financial services, something I wasn't trained to do at all.
Right.
But it was just having faith in myself. And now I look back on that. And there were times back then, 5 years ago, I were like, hey, did I really do the right thing?
Right,
maybe I need to go out here and get a job or something. But, now 5 years later, looking back on all that, it was the greatest decision I ever made.
Fantastic. Let's start with the first obvious question. How much does it take actually to start a business, Algernon?
Well, you know, that's always the million-dollar question. How
Right.
much is it going to take me to get off the ground? And it's really specific to the actual company or the type of business that you need to start. If you're more of a, if you're going to start a company that requires a lot of inventory, then it's going to take a lot of upfront capital so that you can go out buy the inventory so you can put in the store so you can actually sell the goods that you want to sell to your customers. If it's more of a service-based business, like you take my company, Wharton Glatton, when we started that company, it's more of a service-based business, doesn't require as much of an upfront capital investment. We actually started that company with just a few thousand dollars. Hewlett-Packard, they started that company with $500. Michael Dell started Dell Computers with just a few hundred dollars in his living room.
Amazing.
Even Blackstone Private Equity, a private equity group that's basically got a capitalization today of $20 billion, they started that company with $5,000 and essentially a card room table in their garage. So it doesn't take a lot to get started. It's not so much the money that holds people back. It's people hold themselves
Themselves
back
back.
and just they don't normally have a lot of faith in themselves.
Excellent point. Now, I've heard that you can actually apply for grants. Is that true?
You can. It's not always as easy as people think it is. I mean, think about it. A grant would normally it's essentially free money, and it may either come from the government or some kind of a private foundation. So if you're starting, let's say you're starting a for-profit company and you're going to go out here and sell, you're going to start a dress shop, Renee. Well, with your dress shop, no one's really going to want to give you free money to go out here and sell dresses and make more money. It's not really making an impact on the community. So normally what I tell people is if they're looking for grant money, you have to be working in something that's going to be a huge impact to the community, or either you're going to employ a certain number of people, or either you're going to address a certain kind of social need, like minorities that need jobs. So it's got to have some kind of a social or community impact. If you're just going out here and starting a clothing store, or you want to start a pool hall or something like that, I mean, you're not going to be able to get any grant money to do that. Although, you see the guy on TV with the question marks. Yeah, I don't know his name, but I
Oh,
can't not
gosh,
remember his name.
it's something, I think, Lesko.
Yeah, is it Matthew?
I think it's
Matthew
Matthew
Lesko.
Lesko.
It
There we
is.
go.
Oh, together we
Right.
can do it.
That's right. Absolutely. How ironic is that? Let me back up a little bit, Algernon, and ask, most people, when they want to start their business, do you recommend, number one, whatever they have on the brain, transfer it or transpose it to a piece of paper? Write that initial business
Yes.
plan down.
And I was going to mention that before you even start thinking about capital and going out and hiring employees and getting inventory and doing the things that you need to do to get the company operational, you have to actually create the company on paper. Now, there's some myths about creating business plans. There's two type of plans people really want to focus on. You've got a business plan and you also have a strategic action plan. Let me tell you a little bit about the two. A business plan, if you've got to go out and raise capital, if you got to go out to banks, if you need to approach venture capital or private equity, or if you need to approach investors, you need something like a business plan. It's a lot more comprehensive. It's going to have more supporting documentation. It's going to have a lot of financial data projections, those types of things. Now, if you're just starting a company, like when we started Wharton Gladden, we don't have any debt. We didn't take on any kind of loans, so we actually sleep good at night right now.
Right, I understand.
So we didn't have any debt. So we came up with a strategic action plan. What we needed to do was actually set some goals, some long-term goals for ourselves, and then determine the actions that it was going to take to achieve those goals. It wasn't so much about coming up with projections and financial data because, well, hey, I mean, we were using our own money. We wasn't actually going out and getting loans. So it was just really more or less just making sure that we could achieve the actual intermediate and long-term goals for the business.
Exactly. So we want to sort of caution those who are listening this morning. You've got this ideal business that you want to start, but it really does take a lot of planning in the process before you just wake up and decide, okay, I'm going to do this. I've got it written
It
down.
does.
Just go out and do it.
Well, I mean, one of the things that you want to start off doing, I think the most important thing that you want to start off doing is really determining the vision for the company.
Exactly.
You have to really have a good handle and, internally yourself as the business owner of what you want the company to look like 10 years from now, 20 years from now, even 30 years from now. Because as you grow and as you bring employees in and as they come in to work with you, they've got to be able to lock into that vision.
Right.
So the first thing you want to do is come up with a vision, and then you want to determine your mission statement.
Exactly.
That's probably the most critical step even before you get into raising capital,
right,
coming up with the plan or anything.
So the short-term goals are nice, but even better, the long-term goals down the line.
Well, yeah, because think about it. I mean, it's, you know, some people take a reverse approach. They try to say, well, hey, this is what I'm going to do in the next year or the next 3 years or the next 5 years. But it's actually the long-term goals that determine the short-term goals. So, you know, when we first started out, we said, okay, what do we want Wharton Gladden to look like 10 years from now?
Right.
Okay. So once we had that picture in our mind, then it's backing down from there and saying, okay, in order for that to happen in 10 years,
right,
this is what we've got to achieve in 5. And in order for that to happen in 5, this is what we've got to achieve in 1 year. And even in order for that to happen in 1 year, this is what we've got to achieve every 90 days.
Exactly.
So what we're doing is every 90 days, we're actually revamping the plan.
Fantastic. Well, Algernon, I have a lot more questions for you, but let's take our first break of the morning.
Great.
And kind of give our listeners an opportunity to
let
all of this
soak
sink
in.
That's right. That's how, boy, great minds think alike. I love this. Of course, for those who are listening this morning to Community Focus, we always appreciate you because you tune in so tentatively each and every Saturday morning. This morning, no different. So thank you very much for that. If you do have some questions, get them ready during the break and then give us a call here in the studio. We are here for you at 336-680-9710 and much more of Community Focus still to come on the best R&B and old school. We are 97.1 QMG. And you got some good folk here on the radio as we're back. Saturday's edition of Community Focus, 336-680-9710. I'm Renee Vaughn, and right across from me in the studio, the one and only Algernon Cash. We are discussing with you folks the steps that you need to consider if you want to create your own business. And Algernon, we really want to get into detail about the, and we kind of touched on this actually before the break, the planning stages, a little bit of the capital. We want to get into the marketing, the employees, and the legality. Can we kind of talk on the legality or the legal aspect?
Sure, we can.
We can
talk a little bit about different business entity structure, whether you want to do a C corporation or an S corporation or a limited liability company or that type of thing. We can definitely jump on that.
Okay, let's do that and break those down into kind of layman terms for those who may not be familiar with it.
Sure. And, just going back to some of the planning part of it, we sort of left off talking about how you need to come up with a vision and a mission. But also, I mean, where you want to spend a lot of your time as you're coming up with your plan as well is just making sure that you have a good handle on what your product or services are going to be.
Right.
Because that's going to be the revenue generator, whatever's going to make you money. And you want to make certain that whatever product or whatever service that you're marketing, that you actually can make money off of it.
Right.
A lot of businesses, as you know, 2/3 of most businesses will not make it the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main reasons why they don't make it is because they don't have a strong plan in place, and they don't really have a good grasp on their products and services. But even more important than that, you also want to make sure you research and define your target market. So where are you going to actually sell your product or services, and is there room for your particular business in that particular market, and who your competitors are? So.
And we also touched on, too, the ways to raise the money for the business. The next question I want to ask on that, Algernon, taking it one step further, what if you're not able, for instance, to get enough money? Either it's from family members, it's from friends, or either a home equity. What's the next step to take after that?
Well, there is sort of like this little hierarchy I normally tell people to look at as they're trying to get started. Most people, the first thing they want to do is take on debt. They want to go to the bank and they want to get a loan, or either they want to put whatever the business cost is on their credit cards, or they may want to do some kind of a home equity line or something like that. And those are all viable ways. I'm not saying those are not necessarily good ways to go about starting a business. However, I would always tell you to try to start your business with no debt whatsoever. I mean, it's just, you know, as a new company and as a fresh company, debt can be a really bad deterrent for a small company, because as the income is coming in, you're having to pay down that debt and pay towards that debt service. So I normally tell people to stay away from debt. Friends and family are always the first place to start. I know that sounds crazy,
right,
but I mean, if you think about your friends and family, those are the people that know you really well. They know your skill set, they know your talents, and they're probably the people that are going to trust you even more than a banker will.
Right.
So if you have friends and family that have that kind of liquidity and can invest into your company, that's the best place to get started. If that doesn't work, then you may be in a position where you do have to take on a little bit of debt to get your company underway. Now, you take companies like, a lot of people say, hey, there's no way you can start a company without debt. That's, yes, you can. Microsoft is a company that got started with no debt, and they still currently have no debt.
Right.
Cisco Systems was a company that got started with no debt. Walgreens was a company that got started with no debt.
And in just about on every corner, you will see a Walgreens
and they're
going up
everywhere.
Somewhere. Yeah.
And I mean, even my company, I mean, Wharton Gladden, we started with no debt and still currently have no debt.
Yeah. So. Anybody in existence for how many years now?
We've been around for 5 years.
Wow. Congratulations.
That's the magical point. If you ever talk to anyone that's starting a company, because most companies, two-thirds of most companies won't make it the first two years, but even two-thirds of the companies that do make it the first 2 years won't make it the next 3 years.
Right.
So a lot of companies, it's really difficult out there to make it. And once again, if you don't have the right plan in place,
exactly.
You got to stay away from debt.
Right.
And you got to make sure that you're growing your company in a very healthy kind of way. What we did is as our cash flows came in, and as we grew our cash flow, as we took on more customers, that's how we grew the company.
Right.
So we grew it in a very smart and profitable
right.
way. So.
And again, that goes back to those long-term goals that you have in place and looking at where we're going to be another 5 years from now
for,
and then the next 5 years and so on and so forth. Let me ask you this. What is the most important thing you need to provide if you're going to, in the situation where if you don't have the family or the friends or the home equity to get that money started to actually apply for a loan?
What are you going to actually need?
Yeah.
Obviously, the business plan, that's going to be very, very important because you're talking about a startup company that has since would not have any history for us to take a look at in order to figure out if you can get financing. So the business plan has got to be rock solid.
Right.
Your projections have to be conservative. I mean, most entrepreneurs, when they start a company, they always think they're going to make so much money the first year and the second year and the third year. They're always very optimistic, and they feel like people are going to like their products and services probably much quicker than they actually do. And it's nothing wrong with being optimistic. But
exactly.
when you actually approach the bank and you're talking about taking on debt, those projections have to be very conservative. So having a rock solid business plan when you go to talk to the bank is very important. And then yourself, I mean, they're going to take a good hard look at you as well. They're going to take a look at your capabilities, your skills. If you're starting a company and you want to go out and help people do retirement plans, then obviously they're going to take a good hard look at you to see if you've got the skill set in order to do a company like that.
Right.
So just making sure you have a solid plan,
making
sure you can also go in and help them to accurately understand why you're a good fit for starting that company. And also, I think just working with the right mentors. I mean, you can go, there's a lot of resource centers here in our local region, small business resource centers where you can get plugged in. And you can go talk to people that have started companies, have managed companies for quite some time, and you can get really good advice.
And that's exactly what I was thinking. I think that's another excellent idea, Algernon, is for someone who's listening this morning, do talk to people who have walked that same path. They've been there. They've succeeded. And there's going to be some failures. That's just obvious, too. But
definitely, yes.
You know, you take the good with the bad. But speaking with those who have had that experience and have been there, yeah, that's a great stepping stone.
It is. There's actually a service called SCORE. SCORE is an acronym, and you can just type that in Google, SCORE.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically like a society of retired entrepreneurs, guys that have started companies.
Right.
And you can go online. They have a wealth of information. They've got a lot of information about taking on capital, coming up with business plans. But the really cool thing about SCORE is that they actually have offices here in our local area where you can go out and talk to someone that have started a company.
Right.
They've got a tremendous amount of experience, and you can actually ask a lot of questions. Your local chambers will also typically have some good resources as far as writing business plans and talking to people that have been in business. And your local community colleges are also very good places to go. I mean, Forsyth Tech has a class that you can take that's $5, and you learn how to write a business plan.
Yeah, that's it. Just $5.
It's $5, and I think you go over to the Forsyth Tech Business Center, and it's downtown where the Winston-Salem Chamber is. But it's like $5, and you learn how to write a business plan. I would definitely, you know, it's worth the investment.
I was going to say the same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it's worth the investment
Absolutely.
To make sure you're going to be successful.
Absolutely. 336-680-9710. I want to welcome those of you who may just be tuning in to Community Focus. I'm Renee Vaughn, again, Algernon Cash, a regular of Community Focus, always on the show offering some good advice. Today, no different. giving you the steps if you want to consider creating your very own business. Algernon, I want to touch on, once you get through, let's say, so far everything is really good. You've got that business plan. You've done your planning. You've got the capital. You've got the marketing in place. Now you want to move on to the next step of getting the employees.
Yeah, and that's always the toughest one.
Right, right.
Because finding good people is really, it's really difficult. I would always caution any business owner, you know, when you're getting ready to get to that critical step of actually taking on employees, or even if, you know, if you are a current business owner and you've already taken on employees, you will never find anyone that's going to work as hard as you do.
Right.
So, I mean, I think a lot of business owners normally have their expectation levels, you know, extremely high, and they sort of get frustrated when their employees maybe don't work as hard as they do. And you're just not going to find somebody that cares about your company and your business the way you do. But what you can do is, if you've come up with a very good, strong vision, if you've established very good principles for the company, you should be able to transfer some of your energy to your employees. Your employees should definitely come to work and have a very good understanding of where you're trying to take the company, and they should be excited about it at the same time. But, you know, as you're going out looking for employees, probably the thing you want to remember most is just making sure you sit down and really have a very good mental picture of what you're looking for,
right.
The type of skill set that person needs, the level of education that person needs. There's just no really scientific way to go out and find employees.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you when you think about most companies, that's probably one of their biggest expense is sort of the turnover cost that's related to employees, because they go out, maybe they get a bad employee, and then they've trained that person, they've spent some time on it. Right. Now they got to go out and find a new employee to take that position.
Exactly. 336-680-9710. Good morning, and thank you for calling into Community Focus. How are you?
All right.
Good.
Is this 97.1?
It certainly is. How are you?
All right. I need to talk to somebody about this restaurant I used to work in.
Yes, sir.
And it's fired me because I told him he was racist, because he kept calling me a boy and pointing his finger in my face.
Mm-hmm.
And I took him punched out. And we're getting in my car, and his son came and asked me, was I going to run the grill this Saturday, because the girl who run the grill wasn't coming to work.
Yes, sir.
And I told him, I said, I got to think about this, because the way your father was talking to me and calling me a boy and pointing his finger in my face, I said, I need to talk to somebody about this. So he said, told me, say, don't come back to work. I'm going to fire you for insubordination.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how you going to do that? I ain't on the clock. I'm on my own personal time. So they fired me.
And so this is definitely not how you want to, not the kind of relationship that you want to have between an employer and an employee.
Employee, right.
And
but unfortunately, these things happen.
They do happen, but there's always, you know, as a business owner, you want to make sure you have a good conflict resolution plan in place, so that if you do have a conflict with your employees, that it's resolved in sort of an orderly kind of way, so that you know your employees don't walk away feeling like they've been shortchanged.
Right.
And at the same time, you can also get an accurate assessment of the things you did wrong from a management standpoint that you can improve for the next time around when you get the next employee.
Right.
So,
sir, let me ask you this. This is an unfortunate situation for you, but has this also at the same time giving you some idea or some thought of perhaps creating and starting your own business?
No, ma'am.
No.
I've been working there for 3 years. I ain't never been late.
Right.
I ain't never missed a day or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
See, he fired one black guy about the same thing.
Right.
Okay. So I've been running his grill. Well, doing the grill and cooking and baking and catering and buffets by myself. I asked him for a raise, and his son told me, I ain't giving you nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him, I said, well, you need to get somebody to run your grill, because really it's not my job to do. I'm just the head cook, but I've been doing it.
And that's Algernon, why I'm asking this gentleman this question, because it sounds like that can be the turning point for him.
Yeah, exactly.
For him to become his own boss initially
and do his own thing.
Exactly.
You know, if he's got the skill set,
which
and,
it sounds like you
and
do,
the abilities
sir.
to be able to go out and cook. I mean, then. It very well may be the point or the opportunity for him to step outside of his comfort zone and go out and do his own thing.
Right.
Now, the one thing that I always like to say, I mean, and some people, you know, some people take it one way or the other. Running a business and owning a business is not for everyone.
Yeah.
It really isn't. Right. And you sort of have to be careful because a lot of times people will say, hey, I've got a very good technical skill, and now I'm going to go out and run a business. But, you know, technical skill and operating a business are completely different. So, for example, someone may say, hey, I'm a great plumber. I'm gonna go out and start my own plumbing company.
Right.
But, you know, now you're going from just being a plumber to now you're also a business owner that manages employees and have to come up with systems and that kind of thing. So, you know, all I say is if you're going to go out and start a company, if you're going to start your own business, it's got to be something that you're passionate about because passion leads to commitment.
Okay. Now, sir, is that something you may want to consider? And if not, Algernon, what kind of advice would you give to this gentleman in terms of trying to find some type?
Let me cut you off for a minute. Let me cut you off for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about myself. See, I worked there, and just like I said, his father came in Tuesday and asked me, say, boy, these exact words, what he said to me, boy, why you ain't over there running that grill? And I just looked at him. And I said, why is you disrespecting me like that? I said, I got a name just the same way you do, so I appreciate you don't call me that. He turned around and said, boy, I call you what I want to call you. So I looked at him and I said, are you racist? He said, what if I am? Then he said, boy, I ain't going to tell you no more. You know, he called me boy 7 times. So I took him and left out the kitchen when he got his son and told his son, how about come and get your father and tell him, quit disrespecting me, calling me a boy and leave me alone. His son came back there and stood in the doorway and just smiled. Didn't say nothing to his father. So I took and walked outside and smoked a cigarette and came back in. About that time, the grill cook came in.
Mm-hmm.
So his father went out there in the front. He came back there and asked the grill cook, come on, where that boy at? I'm glad I don't raise no boys.
So, I mean,
then he stuck his finger in my face.
Okay, let us cut you off and interject for just a second and try to get some advice to you.
So I guess what I'm trying to figure out is sort of what your caller's expectation is. So what's he really sort of looking for?
Right. And that's where we're trying to help you as to what's the next step for you to take.
Yeah, what are you?
I took and called EEOC, and they supposed to be sending me some paperwork from Greensboro.
Okay.
And I want to talk to Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris conferred me to Wayne Patterson.
Okay.
So, really, I'm being terminated because I told his son, I said, well, your dad don't sit there and call me boy about 7 times. You didn't open your mouth.
Right.
And I say, and I asked him, was he racist? And he said, what if I am? I said, so, by him calling me a boy, he might well just been calling me the N-word. So his son say, well, don't come back to work.
Well, I think you're taking the right steps that you're already on, the path you're
exactly.
already on. Sounds like you're going the right direction already.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, I mean, North Carolina is a state where you do not have to have a reason to dismiss
With
someone.
Somebody, yeah.
I mean, it's just that's the way it is here in North Carolina. But the steps that you're already on, I think you need to keep just following the path that you're going.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think it's unfortunate what's happening, but we do wish you luck.
Exactly. And we hear the frustration, and we definitely want you to be in a better working environment. So we hope that works out for you, okay?
Okay.
All right. And I appreciate your call this morning. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bye-bye. Algernon, let's take another break, and then we're going to come back and take some more questions, 336-680-9710. Just one of the examples of what's could likely happen.
Yeah, I mean, those are the kind of things that are happening out there. So hopefully he'll use that as a catalyst for change.
Exactly. Well said, and a great ending part as we go into another break. And we appreciate you again listening. Saturday's edition of Community Focus. Much more to come on the best R&B in old school, 97.1 QMG. I'm being old school, 97.1 QMG. We are back. Saturday's edition of Community Focus. I'm Renee Vaughn. Algernon Cash with me. And Algernon, we obviously can hear the frustration with that caller before
sure.
we went to break. And I think this is a great opportunity, listening to this gentleman, to really point out for those who are in that situation, and that might be a catalyst for a lot of people
it
who are
is.
In that
well,
type
we,
of...
Well, it should be.
Right,
yeah.
in that tense working environment, and you're dealing with that same... shall we say, foolishness every day. So the next question is, well, what do you do? That could have been a situation where this gentleman, like you said, he did the right thing. You know, you walk away from it. But then what's the next step you take Do you go back or do you just say, this is it, I've had enough, I've got to figure out what to do? And for a lot of people, that may be where you get into that mindset of, maybe I can do some on my own.
Yeah, but, you know, unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there that are constantly going back. They go back every single day.
Right.
They're going to go
right.
back on Monday.
Right.
I mean, but, you know, how many people or how many friends do you have? I know I've got a few. Every single day they complain about the same thing at their company. They know this foolishness is going on. They know that that person is going to be there that day, but they keep going back every single day. And I'm not, once again, I'm not saying everybody's going to run out here and start the next greatest company, because
right.
that may not be for everyone, but you don't have to keep putting up with that.
Right.
You can go out and find another job. You can find another position. Find whatever you would want to do for free, and then figure out a way to get paid for it.
Exactly.
That's what you want to do. You want to be passionate about whatever you do, but don't stick in the same situation just because you feel like you got to get that check.
Exactly. Great point. 336-680-9710. And it's funny you should mention that, because I cannot for some reason recall who just mentioned that. Like you said, do something for free and then find a way to get paid. I heard somebody just quote that the other day.
My grandfather actually told me.
Right.
So, I mean, it's probably something that's been around
exactly
forever.
For a while.
But you know, it's the truth. I mean,
yeah.
find something that you love to do that you would absolutely get up and do for free if there was no such thing as money.
Exactly.
I love what I do at Wharton Gladden. I would do it for free if there was no such thing as money. And then once you find that, go find a way to get paid.
That's
for
right.
It.
And I'm in the similar situation with you. Same boat, Algernon. 336-680-9710. Good morning to you, and thank you for calling into Community Focus.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
All right. How are you doing?
Good,
yes,
you.
I have a question for the gentleman that you have on for the panel.
Yes.
If we can go back to the financing for starting up a business.
Yes.
I'm planning, on my plans, I'm going to be opening up a UPS store, and I would like to find out, what are the alternate sources of financing to start up a company?
Good question.
Great question, and actually a really good business to be in. What I would say is, first of all, have you already got approved for your franchise license?
Yes, I'm going through the franchise approval process now, but it's looking kind of tight on the I can get the franchise funding.
Okay.
But as far as the money for that, but like I say, I'm kind of tight on extra money, because I just don't want to
You're looking for working capital.
Right,
okay,
right.
Okay.
I just don't want to be able to start up a business and then not being able to pay the electricity and things like that.
Nope, and no one does.
Right.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes, sir.
Are you planning on leasing your property to start out, or are you going to acquire a little piece of property, or what were you thinking?
For looking at the sites, job sites, it's better for me to lease.
Okay.
But I would prefer to purchase. I would prefer to purchase it, but it would be better for me to lease it.
Yeah, just to get started. Okay. I just wanted to see where your mindset was. Obviously, a lot of times, I mean, I've actually had the opportunity to work with a lot of different franchises with our company, because we do a lot of hotel financing and things like that. A good place to start whenever you're dealing with a franchise is to start with the actual franchisor themselves.
Right.
A lot of times they'll have very good relationships with capital sources that really understand the franchise brand.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll come in and they may provide some level of financing. Also, if you're going into a franchise, another source that you might want to look at that I think would be very, very good for you is the SBA and looking at some kind of a small business administration loan. There are two programs through the SBA. One of them is the 7A program, and the other one is the 504. The 504 is really more for real estate. So if you were thinking about going out and buying a facility, or if you already owned a facility and you wanted to expand it, you would look at the SBA 504 program. But for your particular need, it sounds like you're just really in need of maybe some working capital. You may need some money to buy some equipment and put in the lease space that you're going to be setting up and those types of things. The SBA 7A program would be more than that would be more than efficient for what you're trying to achieve. And right now, I would tell you that the SBA program would probably be better because a lot of our banks, if you're keeping up with what's going on in the market, a lot of the banks are just really under pressure right now. So you're sort of seeing not necessarily a constriction in capital, but you're definitely mm-hmm. seeing a change in perception for underwriting, and then that's equaling less money available for lending. So the SBA loan program seems to be the direction that I would tell you to head in. And you can go on their website to SBA.gov. There's a wealth of information available there. I don't know if they give you particular lending or actual finance companies that you can contact, but I know one company that I have a lot of experience with and I would say you may want to call is CIT. And you can just go to Google and type in CIT Small Business Lending, and okay. they basically do the SBA 7A program.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Also, do I have time for another question?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. As far as the selecting of a franchise, is there a particular a way to select a franchise? Like, my background is in the food service.
Okay.
And you know, I've worked with the Department of Agriculture also. And the banks are particularly interested in that because I do have a background in it.
Yeah, always. Yeah, because anytime – are you thinking about maybe doing a restaurant franchise or
– probably a McDonald's or something, but I don't have that kind of money. But I have to sell some property to do that. But is there a particular guidance on as to how to select a franchise?
You know, I think that, or at least in my past experience, probably the best way to navigate the franchise process, I mean, if you're just mm-hmm. not, I mean, there's some guys out there that are serial entrepreneurs and they've got great relationships with Bojangles and Quick Jiffy Lubes and all
right.
these different types
exactly.
of franchises.
Yeah.
But if, mm-hmm. if you're sort of new to it and you're just looking to find a way to navigate the process,
right.
I would say find a good business broker. Business brokers will typically have a very good handle on the franchise process. They also have very good contacts within the franchise industry. And there's a particular group that's right here in North Carolina. They're based out of Raleigh, and it's called Inline. It's spelled E-N-L-I-G-N, Inline mm-hmm. Business Brokers. And mm-hmm. that would be a terrific place for you to at least start. And then they can sort of help you navigate that process.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Yes, okay. And I enjoy your program.
Well,
I listen
you.
To it every Saturday.
I appreciate it.
Thank
all
you
right.
for listening.
Thank you. Sir, before I let you go.
Yes.
Algernon, do you mind leaving your telephone number so
oh,
the
yeah,
two of
sure.
you can keep in
sure.
contact
and
with
then
one another?
I'll say it on the air just so if anybody has questions
right.
after the program,
exactly.
they can reach me. But, sir, and everybody in the triad, you can reach me at 478-2305, and of course that's area code 336. And once again, the number is 478-2305. And you can also, if you just don't want to call and you mm-hmm. just have a quick question,
right.
you can email me at algernoncash@bellsouth.net.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you very
You're
much.
You're welcome. Bye bye.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Wow, he's like he's off to a good start.
Yeah,
and we want to congratulate him.
He's off to a great start.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, we need people like that because small businesses actually contribute 2/3 to our economy.
That's right.
Without small business, I mean, they are basically the economic engine of this economy.
Exactly.
So we need guys like him that's out
absolutely.
There starting companies.
Absolutely, and we certainly wish him well, and hopefully we'll be hearing more success stories. Algernon, let's take another call, 336-680-9710. Good morning. Thank you for your patience, and thank you for listening to Community Focus. How are you?
I'm good today. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Good, good. Okay, I want to ask Mr. Cash a question. I'm a business owner myself.
Great.
Congratulations.
We appreciate your service.
Absolutely.
Huh?
I said we appreciate your service.
Oh, yeah. I know what people are going through when they are trying to get cash and stuff. The question I wanted to ask him, and I don't know if he had the expertise, but what I wanted to ask is... I've been fortunate in my business to accumulate, you know, a certain amount of money. And what I wanted to do was to help business owners, startup business owners with cash or capital, et cetera. I wanted to know if he knows the steps of, you know, starting that kind of business? Because I know you could be a private lender all you want.
Sure.
But there are certain guidelines that you still have to go by.
Exactly.
So I wanted to know if he knew or can give advice on how I can start that and then, you know, branch out. I already have a business plan of what I want to do.
Okay.
A website that I will be launching once I know the laws, because I don't want to start something and then get shut down.
Right.
Well, first of all, let me tell you, I love the business that you're getting ready to start.
Exactly.
And I love the model because right now what we have is a lack of what we call angel capital. Angel investors are typically the investors that are the first ones that would put money into a company. So you take even a large company like Dell. At one point in time, they had what we call angel investors, and then actually, once they move through that round of funding, they move on to another larger round of funding, and they take on later stage funding until finally those companies eventually go public. But having available seed capital or angel capital in our community is great. So I love what you're trying to do. And I think it's great that you're also investigating your options as far as from
exactly.
a legality standpoint.
Right.
What I would tell you is where you want to probably get started at is with a group called P10. It's the Piedmont Triad Entrepreneurial Network, and it's spelled P-T-E-N. And if you type that in and you type in Greensboro, it'll bring up a lot of information. And I would tell you to call those guys because they work with a lot of companies that are out there essentially looking for equity capital to get their business off the ground. They also do a lot of cool things with a business plan competition where they actually give capital away if you win a business plan competition to help you start your company. So if you're looking to make those sort of small investments into a company that's getting off the ground, P10 would be a great starting place to help you figure out how you would go about doing that. And then also, if you wanted to check out this place online, if you were ever interested in peer-to-peer lending, meaning that people that are out, they have companies that are looking for money online, that a lot of times they'll look for an individual that can make that seed investment. There's a website called prosper.com. You can go to prosper.com. And if you've got money to loan out, there are already potential business owners that are on Prosper that are looking for money to borrow to get their business going.
Okay, got it.
So, but, you know, as far as your company and your business that you're trying to do, I mean, what you're trying to do is what we call angel investing.
Yeah.
And you're going to be the one that's providing that very early stage funding to get companies off the ground. And we need that. We need more people like you because when the banks won't loan money, it's the angel investors that are a lot of times that are helping those companies to get going. Let me give you one other place that just popped in my mind, too. Give a gentleman a call, a good friend of mine, Daryl Little, over in Winston-Salem. He's with a program called the Micro Enterprise Loan Program, and they give out very small micro loans to businesses that are looking to get started. Now, they only do it in Winston-Salem, so if you're looking to be outside of Winston-Salem, Daryl will be able to navigate you to who you need to talk to in your region. But start with Daryl Little, and once again, the name of the program is called Micro Enterprise Loan Program, M-E-L-P. And you should be able to put that in Google with Winston-Salem and bring up some information on Daryl.
Okay, do you have a phone number for him?
I don't own me. I actually do have his phone number. If you'll email me at algernoncash@bellsouth.net, or if you
okay,
want to...
Can you spell that?
Sure. A-L-G-E-N-O-N, and then cash, like money, @bellsouth.net. Or if you call me on Monday at 478-2305, either or, and I'll give you his number and even copy him on the email if you'll email me.
Okay, that sounds good. That sounds great. Like I said, I'm in the business myself, and I know how it's a struggle.
It is.
And yes, if people like us are out there that has cash that can help out, I mean, they should start, you know, to help people.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for doing what you're doing, and keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening.
Appreciate you. Bye-bye. We had another great show. Algernon, this obviously, we had some good calls. This is absolutely a great topic, so I really want to continue this the next opportunity we get.
We will, because we didn't even get to go through all the information because we took on some calls. But next time I come through, You know, we may try to stay in this sort of same area.
Absolutely.
And try to go back to talking about what you need to do to either start your business.
That's right.
Or if you're already in business, some things that you may want to keep in mind to operate your business.
So. Absolutely. So until next time, you keep doing what you're doing. Appreciate you always taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on the show and just really get some great advice. Appreciate you, Algernon.
Well, I'm heading on up to CNH Cafeteria to get some breakfast. That's become my normal routine when I do community
absolutely.
Focus.
Absolutely. Well, thank all of you who make it a routine to tune in to the Public Affairs Show that gets the word out and lets you know what's happening in our community. And you can tune in tomorrow, the faith-based edition of Community Focus with your host, Joseph Lovell. Have a fantastic weekend, folks. A lot of great things happening in the community. In fact, Algernon, I'm going to be a part of the William C. Sims Recreation Center. It's the 15th annual Happy Hill Reunion over in Winston-Salem. So I'm looking forward to
doing that today?
Yeah, I'm doing it today, man.
Okay.
The festivities kick
off.
What
time is that?
11:30 until 6 over at the Sims Rec Center, 1201 Alder Street in Winston-Salem.
Yeah, I know exactly where
Wonderful.
You're going to be.
Wow. So for anybody who's listening, if you want to swing on by, we're going to have a great day of activities for everybody in the family. Looking forward to that. And, of course, Algernon, next Saturday we got the Burlington Stone Soul Picnic
That's
at
right,
North
and
Park.
I'll be there.
That's going to be huge as well. So a lot of good stuff. Get involved between now and next week. And, again, thank you so much, folks, for listening to today's program. On the way, the old school show that brings those memories right back at you, a.k.a. the best of the Tom Jordan Morning Show, and all weekend long, the best R&B in old school right here, 97.1 QMG. Everybody have a great weekend.